I think I just met myself coming down. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew 28, if you don't mind, please. Matthew 28. Probably next to John 3:16. This is probably the most quoted verse in the New Testament, Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Let's just ask the Lord to bless our time together. Loving Father, we do indeed thank you for the day that you've graciously given to us. We thank you, Lord, for life, and we thank you for good health. And Lord, this evening we do pray for the pastor that you might ease the pain that he's experiencing in his back and in his in his mouth. We pray, dear Lord, that you just might put your hand of healing upon him, if it could be according to your will, and just to deliver him of that pain. Father, we do thank you for this congregation, and we thank you, Lord, for the faithfulness of the members here. And we pray, dear Lord, that you might open our eyes and help us to see clearly those things that you would have us to see. And we'll thank you for it. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This evening, I'd like for you to consider with me this question, why evangelize? We talk a lot about evangelization, and I suppose if you had to give an answer, most people would say, because the world needs Jesus, and I would say that is certainly true. We live in an era where we are seeing more and more wars and rumors of wars. We're seeing the deterioration of the family structure. We're seeing a breakdown in morals throughout the country and throughout the world. And so that is a good answer, and it is a correct answer, because the world needs Jesus. But I'd like to suggest to you that that while it is a good answer, it's not the complete answer, and so I'd like to just elaborate upon that, if I may, this evening. The first reason we should evangelize, at least and according to my understanding, is because God commands it. And you'll see that very clearly here in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, you'll notice here that there's nothing in this verse of Scripture about evangelization. And the reason there isn't, it's about discipleship, but the reason there isn't is because that is understood. It is understood that we are to go and to evangelize. There's a command here, and there's a promise here. The command is to go. We are to put the go in the gospel. And the promise is, I will be with you. So you may go to some places in this world that could cost you your life. The Lord says, lo, I am with you. And this is also justification for me not to fly. I probably fly as much as anyone. I've flown all over the country, and I've been to many, many countries around the world. But this verse says, lo, I am with you, instead of hi, I am with you. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus reminds his disciples that the Holy Spirit will come upon them, and that they will be witnesses, that they are to carry the gospel into all the earth, starting in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the world. So the same person who gave the instruction for Matthew 18, 19, and 20 is the same person who gave the instruction in regards to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Here, more explicitly, he says, you will be my witnesses, and you begin where you are, and you branch out. So for you, if you lived in or near York, Pennsylvania, then this is your Jerusalem, and we begin here, and then we branch out into the uttermost parts of the world. And by application, these passages of Scripture applies to each of us today. It is simply God's desire for us to evangelize. Now, God could have given this assignment to the angels, but he didn't. He chose to give the assignment to us. And I can only speculate at this point, but I believe he didn't give it to the angels simply because the angels had never had a redemptive experience like you and me. We can sing a song that the angels can never sing, redeemed by the blood of the crucified one. And so the assignment of witnessing, the assignment of sharing the good news of the gospel, is an assignment that is given to the redeemed. Witnessing in its most elementary form is simply one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. And that's exactly what the woman at the well did. She went back into town and she said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. After Paul's conversion, he often witnessed by sharing his salvation experience. He would begin to use probably a modern vernacular. He would begin maybe by saying something like, well, let me tell you how it is with me and how it happened to me. No PhD is necessary. No theological degree is necessary. In witnessing, you are simply sharing with the listener how you came to know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And so the first reason we should witness is because God commanded it. God said, simply go. The second reason we should witness is because Jesus is the only way to heaven. Now, I have some liberal friends that would just really take issue with that, because there are some that believe that if you do the best that you can do, if your good works outweigh your bad works, then you'll make it. And some people take issue and object to the idea that Christianity is the only way to heaven through the person of the Lord Jesus. And so they would say, yeah, but how about Buddhism and how about Islam? Well, how about it? The scripture says that Jesus is the only way to heaven. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. He is not a way, but he is the way. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the scripture says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus makes it abundantly clear that he is the way, that he is the only way. According to John, he's the good shepherd. According to John, he is the door. He is the one, and he is the only way. God's holiness and righteousness demanded a perfect, spotless sacrifice. And therefore, God's Son stepped down from glory that we might step up to heaven. And I can assure you that if there would have been any other way, God would have presented that. Because it was an awesome thing for the God of glory, the Creator God, to step down from his heavenly home to die for the sins of the world. So why should we evangelize? In order that mankind might be reunited to God. A third reason we should evangelize is because the inception of the gospel results in changed lives. The inception of the gospel results in changed lives. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, the scripture says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or creation. And all things are passing away, all things are becoming new. Just as a person can't grab a hold of a 220 volt and remain the same, a person cannot grab a hold of the person of the Lord Jesus and remain the same. His life will be changed. When the man from the Gadarenes came into contact with Jesus, he was changed. The townspeople found him clothed and in his right mind. When the people of Ephesus came to Christ, they gathered up all of their magical art books and burned them. And it's interesting to note that the writer Luke estimates the value of these magical art books at 50,000 pieces of silver, probably enough to have built a local church. And yet, because of this burning desire within their heart to follow Christ and this burning desire not to want other people to fall into the sin that they had fallen into, they burned the books rather than taking them down to the flea market or to Pawn Stars and cashing them in. They chose to burn the books. And this suggests that something wonderful and marvelous had taken place within their hearts and within their lives. The people of Thessalonica turned to God from their idols. Now, programs like NA, Narcotics Anonymous, and AA, Alcoholic Anonymous, are good programs, but they specialize in reformation. The gospel specializes in transformation. And rather than helping somebody put off a bad habit and substitute it for another sometimes bad habits. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but I haven't noticed because I've never been to AA. Let's get that straight. But they say that you have to cut your way through the door, getting in through the smoke. And so they substitute one bad habit for another bad habit. And again, I'm not saying that the programs are totally bad. They do have things that they have to offer. But the truth of the matter is, when the gospel comes in, it makes a profound difference in a person's heart and a person's life. A couple weeks ago, I drove down to Myrtle Beach. I understood that one of my dear friends, going all the way back to 1969, was going to be there, Cormie Hildebrand. Cormie is now 86 years of age. And so just about the same age as you, Ken. So I drove down to the Myrtle Beach to meet with him. Well, Cormie, just a very dear man who got saved when he was probably about 40 years of age, went with me to Washington, D.C. one weekend to look for my daddy. My daddy had abandoned our family when he was when I was 14 years of age, and my daddy had a really bad drinking problem, and so he beat my mother up during his drunken stupor, and he realized that he'd probably be going to jail, and so he disappeared, and we never saw him. But I'd heard from a couple different people that he was living in the Washington, D.C. area. And some people said they had seen him around the bus station. And so Cormie and I, we went down and to look for my daddy. I never did find him. And I learned years later, that was in probably 1970 when we went down. And I learned that he died in 1974, 4 years later. I learned this in the early 80s. And to make a long story longer, as Cormie and I were sitting there talking and reminiscing about days that had gone by, and he was telling me, he said, you know, one of the reasons I went with you to Washington, D.C., and he remembered the trip well, he said, because God delivered me from alcoholism. He said, I was a heavy drinker, and I guess he had lost a wife as a result of his drinking. And he said, you know, he said, when I bowed my head and received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, he said, the taste for alcohol went away. He said, now I'm smart enough to realize not to put it to my lips. He said, but it went away. And I said, Cormie, I said, my daddy also made a decision for Christ. And I said, then he got in with wrong company and he went back to his old way. And maybe had my daddy had what Cormie had, was a bunch of people around him that was encouraging him and supporting him, it would have made a difference. But the point that I'm making is simply this, that we should witness because the gospel is powerful, and it changes people's lives. Sharing the gospel is the best social work a person can be involved in, because you're not only getting people ready for heaven, you're getting people ready for life. I remember a number of years ago when I was in Aberdeen, a couple came and visited the center. They were from the state of Ohio, and they were on their way to Word of Life to drop their son off to be involved in summer ministry. I never did quite figure out why they drove to Ohio, to Aberdeen, Maryland, to get up to New York, but they probably had a reason for that. But the gentleman, he introduced himself, and he said that back in the 60s, he said he was given an invitation to come to the center in Aberdeen, and he said so he came. And he said he was in a very backslidden condition, and his marriage was on the rocks. And he said he came that Saturday night, and he heard the gospel, and he said he dedicated his life to Jesus Christ. And he said, my wife has got to hear this. And so he encouraged his wife to come to Aberdeen. She heard the gospel and she got saved. Now, many years had gone by. Now they had two sons. One son was in college studying for the ministry, and the other son was going to Word of Life to be involved in a summer ministry. What made the difference, folks? It was the gospel. And that's what the gospel is able to do. And so the best social work in all the world is introducing people to Jesus Christ, getting them grounded in the Word, and then a lot of these bad habits and things just fall to the wayside. Now there's a place for social work, but there is a place for sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ. And then fourth and lastly, the gospel has a preserving effect upon society. Why should we evangelize? Because the gospel has a preserving effect upon society. The fourth reason a person should evangelize is because the gospel not only results in changed lives, it preserves the social fabric of a nation. The scripture says righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And when a nation is doing right according to the scripture, that nation is blessed. That nation prospers. And when a nation fails to do right according to the scripture, that nation begins to fall apart. The gospel is like salt. Salt does two things. It adds flavor, and it preserves. Look at any frozen item or any canned item, and you will see that sodium has been added for the purpose of preserving the life of that product. The salt of the gospel needs to be added to society for its preservation. And every time a person receives Jesus Christ as personal Savior, it's like turning on a porch light. You ever walk through a community that was just really dark? And then did you ever walk through a community when the light was, when the moon was full? Notice the difference? Can you imagine a community where there is peace and love because there is a relationship with Jesus Christ? I remember many, many years ago doing bus ministry in a local church that I was attending. And I started at one end of the street. And when I got to the other end of the street, I was really discouraged because almost everybody just shut the door in my face. And when I got to the end of the street, it became evident to me why people were shutting the door in my face. There was a guy at the end of the street that operated a small store. He was sitting in a wheelchair. He was the most vulgar, nasty, dirtiest individual I think I ever met in my life. And I realized that that sorry rascal set the stage for everybody else on that street. The gospel can do the opposite. The gospel changes people's lives. It changes their attitude. When a majority of people in any community is loving God, they are also loving their neighbors. And when people in a community are loving God, you'll find that there is less crime, that there is less stealing. And there is less of a lot of things because there is a lot of loving toward God going on. And someone has suggested that when the vertical line is straight, the horizontal line will be straight. When you are right with your Heavenly Father, you will necessarily be right with your fellow man. I remember a good number of years ago, I had purchased a property in Hartford County. It was a mobile home situated on 2 acres of land. And I purchased a property, but then I realized I didn't have enough money to completely pay for it. And so I contacted a pastor friend of mine up here in this area and asked him if he had any business people that would be willing to loan me the difference. When I went to the bank to borrow the difference, they said, well, we don't loan money on unimproved land. And I said, well, it is improved. I said, it has a mobile home on it. It has a septic tank on it. It has a well on it. And the banker said, well, we don't regard that as improved. And so I contacted this pastor, and the pastor contacted me back, and he said, yeah, there's a couple of guys in the congregation that said that they would loan you the money. So a man said, he called me and he said, how much do you need? And I said, well, I need $17,500. And he said, okay, I'll drop you a check in the mail for that amount of money. And I said, well, I'll go to an attorney and I'll draft the paperwork and I'll pay you back 8% if that is agreeable to you. And he said, don't worry about the 8% and don't worry about the paperwork. He said, I trust you. Now, I don't know why he trusted me other than the fact that his pastor said he's a good guy. And but that illustrates a point, and the point that it illustrates is simply this here, is that when two people are walking with God and loving God, they make concessions for each other, and they overlook a lot of differences. And they're willing to go a second and third mile for the other person because, you see, they're in communication with God the Father. Well, what I did is I went directly to an attorney's office. I had the paperwork drafted, and I signed it, and I sent it to him. I said, just in case I drop dead, I said, I want you to know that the property is yours. And I fulfilled my obligation. But there was a time in America when people operated like that all the time because of their loved relationship with God the Father. I'm impressed with Abraham Lincoln in this regard, is that he had a business partner that took him to the cleaners. He lost his business. It took him 17 years to pay off the old debt, but he chose to do it. And Mark Twain, while not a real religious person, but he had grown up in an era where he learned, like many other Americans, from the McGuffey Reader, he was a great writer. He was a lousy businessman, and every time that he would put money in a business deal, it would go belly up. And so he was on the verge of filing for bankruptcy. And the attorney suggested and recommended that he should go ahead and file for bankruptcy. And Mark Twain said, I can't do that. And the attorney said, well, why not? He said, because I wasn't taught that way. And so he went overseas and spent several years overseas on a speaking tour until he paid back every single dime. And when he died, from my understanding is, he didn't know one man, one single solitary dime. Now, the gospel not only changes lives, it also has a positive effect upon society. And so the more people that know and love the Lord in a local community, you can expect the dealings among them will be quite different than the people within the world. So why should we evangelize? Well, we should evangelize because, first of all, God commands it. He says, go into all the world. Why should we evangelize? Because Jesus is the only way to heaven. Why should we evangelize? Because it results in changed lives. And why should we evangelize? Because it preserves our society. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do thank you again for the day, and thank you for your word, and thank you for the opportunity of being able to serve you. And Lord, we pray that you will expand our burden this week toward those that do not know you. We pray, dear Father, that you will increase our vision. And Father, we pray that you will help us to become the people that you would have us to become. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.